Psalm 47. It's okay, this gives you guys time to look it up yourselves. Clap your hands, all peoples. Shout to God with loud songs of joy. For the Lord the Most High is to be feared, a great king over all the earth. He subdued peoples under us and nations under our feet. He chose our heritage for us, the pride of Jacob, whom he loves. God has gone up with a shout, the Lord with the sound of the trumpet. Sing praises to God. Sing praises. Sing praises to our King. Sing praises. For God is the King of the earth. Sing praises with a psalm. God reigns over the nations. God sits on his holy throne. The princes of the peoples gather as the people of the God of Abraham. For the shields of the earth belong to God. He is highly exalted. Let's go ahead and pray. Dear Lord, we thank you for today. We thank you for the sunshine and for the warmth. And Lord, we just pray that we could come to you and we could bring our burdens to you and we could praise you for all that you've done. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Unlike what your bulletin says, I am not Justin Wheaton. Justin Wheaton is not here, so I will be filling in for him. I don't even claim the title pastor. I don't know. Maybe like rabbi, that means teacher. I think I'm teaching from the Word of God, so I don't know if I want to be called Rabbi Trevor either. So, but go ahead and flip to Luke chapter 14. That's where we're going to be at today. And it's an interesting encounter. Luke chapter 14, Jesus gets an invitation to a banquet. And lo and behold, this banquet is with the Pharisees. The Pharisees have invited Jesus over for supper. And if you can't read the Bible and smile and laugh sometimes, I don't think you're quite reading it right, because there's just, I don't know, there's a lot of stuff here. You kind of have to maybe be in the right mood for it. I don't know. As I was preparing to speak this Sunday, I just got a kick out of some of the things that are happening here. And so let's go ahead and just dive into it. Luke chapter 14, picking up in verse 1. One Sabbath, when he went to the dine at the house of the ruler of the Pharisees, they were watching him carefully. And behold, there was a man before him who had dropsy. And Jesus responded to the lawyers and the Pharisees, saying, "Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath or not?" But they remained silent. Then he took him and healed him and sent him away. And he said to them, "Which one of you, having a son or an ox that has fallen into a well on the Sabbath day, will not immediately pull him out?" And they could not reply to these things. I'm just going to stop at this section here and look at this. The first question I asked myself when I looked at this is, why is Jesus invited to this banquet? Why is Jesus eating at the house of the Pharisees? If we look back at Matthew 12:8, we see where Jesus healed the man with the withered hand on the Sabbath. And this really ticked off the Pharisees. They were not happy with him. And in fact, it even says that they are conspiring how they might destroy him. And we see, even while he's sitting at the banquet here, looking at verse 1, and they were watching him carefully. So Jesus is sitting there at the banquet. For some reason, they've invited him. And it just so happens that right across from Jesus, sitting before him, is a man with dropsy. I don't want to assume the worst in people who are wanting to destroy someone, but it just seems like maybe there's maybe an ulterior motive to why Jesus was invited to this banquet. And one theory I've heard is this man who's sitting right before Jesus with dropsy is almost like a test. Like, they invited Jesus and they're all watching him carefully to see, so what is Jesus going to do now with this man with dropsy sitting in front of him? And to answer this, they don't even ask the question. There's no question asked by the Pharisees. They're all just sitting there watching him. But it says in verse 3, "And Jesus responded to the lawyers and the Pharisees, saying, 'Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath or not?'" And it's funny because Jesus answers the question that they weren't even asking with a question that they wouldn't even ask him. They had asked him this earlier in a few chapters prior, "Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath?" And Jesus had answered them, and now he turns the question back on them. "Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath?" And he's waiting for an answer. And their response? Silence. So, he took him and healed him and sent him away, which is also interesting. This man was healed, and sent away out of the banquet. He didn't stick around. It's more and more that makes me wonder if this man wasn't placed there. But also, it just kind of points towards the fact that there was no rejoicing, no amazement, no thanks, just hardened hearts at this room full of Pharisees. Here's this miracle performed before them. This man with dropsy is healed, and nothing. And Jesus responds to their silence, and he says, "Which of one of you, having a son or an ox that has fallen into a well on the Sabbath day, will not immediately pull him out?" And they could not reply to these things. You see, these men cared more about their interpretation of the law and their own made-up rules than they did about people, than they did about showing compassion and showing love. They were missing it. But Jesus goes on. He's not done with the Pharisees yet. Now, he told a parable to those who were invited, starting in verse 7 here. When he noticed how they chose to place the places of honor, saying to them, "When you are invited by someone to a wedding feast, do not sit down in a place of honor, lest someone more distinguished than you be invited by him, and he who invited you will come and say to you, 'Give your place to this person,' and then you will begin with shame to take the lowest place. But when you are invited, go and sit in the lowest place, so that when the host comes, he may say to you, 'Friend, move up higher.' Then you will be honored in the presence of all who sit at the table with you. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted." So now Jesus moves on to the people sitting there at the banquet, and he notices their seating arrangement. And he kind of compares it to as if you were to go to a wedding, and to use the most extreme example I could from today, it'd be like you going to a wedding, going to the reception, and nobody's really sat down at the head table yet, so, I think this table normally gets served first, so I'll just go ahead and sit down here, sit down at the head table, and then the wedding party comes, and they're like, "What are you doing here? You know, get out of the way," and they kick you out of the way and move you to the side, and now in front of everyone, you have to be moved from the highest place to the lowest place. And so Jesus is trying to communicate here, like, you always try to seat yourselves in the highest place, but this doesn't even make sense, because then with shame, you're going to have to be moved back down. But if you seat yourself at one of the more lowly places, then the host himself is going to move you up. He's going to exalt you and honor you. And so this was obviously practical wisdom, but also he was relating it to something deeper than that. You see, Jesus is always talking about the first shall be the last, and the last shall be the first. And he fits this into his teaching because let me just get back to where I'm at here. So he's giving this example of if you're exalting yourself, you're going to have to be brought low. And even in 1 Peter, he talks about this. God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. God can't work with a prideful heart. He works with a humble heart. And those who exalt themselves will be humbled by God, but those who humble themselves will one day be exalted by God. Looking at verse 11, "For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted." You see, Jesus didn't come to this world. Jesus came to this world to be a servant. If we look at John chapter 13, the washing of the disciples' feet, Jesus washes his disciples' feet, and then he says, "I should do this as an example to you. Do likewise." And there's this idea of service, of humbling yourself. If you want to be great in the kingdom of God, you must humble yourself and bring yourself low. You must humble yourself not only under God, but also humbling yourself below others, putting their needs first. And unlike these Pharisees, are you willing to humble yourself before God? Are you willing to submit your life to His will, to what He wants to do with your life? God can do amazing things with a humble and submissive person, but for a prideful person that's not willing to bend to His will, it's going to be much more difficult for God to use a person like that with their hardened heart. And so we see Jesus has addressed this healing on the Sabbath. He's addressed their seating arrangement. And now he continues on, and he said to the man who invited him, picking up in verse 12. He said to the man who had invited him, "When you give a dinner or a banquet,
Do not invite your friends or your brothers or your relatives or rich neighbors, lest they also invite you in return and you be repaid. But when you give a feast, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed because they cannot repay you, for you will be repaid at the resurrection of the just. So Jesus turns his attention now to the host. And he says, don't just invite those people who can repay you, your rich neighbors, your friends, your family, all these people. Instead, invite the disabled, the poor, those who can't repay you. Because those people, when they repay you, you receive your reward here on heaven. But when you care for the least of these among God's people, God will repay you. And I can tell you that God can repay far greater than any person can repay here on this earth. And this is just the first principle that Jesus wants to draw from this parable that he's telling about this banquet. So he's telling him to show hospitality and generosity to the poor. And when you have a banquet, to not just invite people you know, your friends, your family, those who can repay you. And it's kind of interesting as I got to reading this, but we are just on the verge of the holiday season, as some would call it. We've got Thanksgiving coming up here at the end of the month. We've got Christmas after that, New Year's, any other celebrations you want to throw in between there, deer season, I don't know what all you celebrate, but we've got a lot of different banquets, if you will, coming up. And it's just a thought, but how many of us have ever given a thought to inviting someone other than our friends, our family, our rich neighbors who can repay us, or just people that we know? And I'm not saying that this is just limited to the poor, to the blind, to the lame, although I definitely would say those people, but also what about the lonely among you? During the holiday season, during Christmas, Thanksgiving, New Year's, all these celebrations, for some people this can be the hardest and loneliest time of the year. And what can we be doing to reach out to those people, to show hospitality and generosity to those people? But just hold that thought for now. The first principle is showing generosity, and for us to show generosity and hospitality, but then Jesus moves on from this. And it's kind of funny here, looking at verse 15, Jesus has just created an awkward tension. He's been invited to this banquet, and he's healed on the Sabbath. He's criticized and basically tore apart their seating arrangement. He's called out the host. I don't think Jesus isn't getting invited back to this banquet. And now, one of the Pharisees sitting there at the table is like, okay, this is really awkward, this is really tense, so let's break the tension with something we can all agree on. And so he says, when one of those reclined at the table heard these things, he said to him, blessed is everyone who will eat bread in the kingdom of God. Like, you know, hey, at least we can all say it's going to be a great day when we're all sitting in the kingdom of God and eating bread together. And Jesus just segues right into his next point, doesn't even skip a beat, and they just cannot get away from Jesus. He's just latched on to them. And he talks about this man who gives a banquet again, picking up in verse 16. But he said to him, a man once gave a great banquet and invited many. And at the time of the banquet, he sent out his servant to say to those who had been invited, come, for everything is now ready. So Jesus is telling this parable about this man who has sent out invites for this great banquet. And now the banquet's ready, and he sends out a servant to tell everyone. Well, what is the banquet? The banquet is the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is now here. All the prophets before this, leading up to John even, had been prophesying about this coming Messiah, this coming of the kingdom of God. And now, at the culmination of all these prophets, we have John proclaiming the kingdom of God is at hand. And even Jesus himself saying, the kingdom of God is at hand. And it's here. And it's just like the servant saying, the day has come. So it's almost like this person who is invited to the banquet, they sent out this invite, like kind of a save the date, if you will. You know, we're going to have this banquet, and now the day comes for the banquet, and he sends out his servant to say, today is the day. Come to the banquet. And so here it is. The banquet's laid out. The kingdom of God has come. Jesus has come. His ministry is here. He's proclaiming the kingdom of God. It's just as he's been inviting them all. But what happens? But they all alike began to make excuses. And the first said to him, I have bought a field, and I must go out and see it. Please have me excused. To another, and another said, I have bought five yoke of oxen. I go to examine them. Please have me excused. And another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. So the servant came and reported these things to his master. So the kingdom of God has arrived. Like, the servant is coming out and saying, hey, this banquet is ready. But all these people are like, well, I'm busy today. I've got to go look at these oxen, or, you know, I just married someone, or, you know, whatever their excuse is, they've got all these things that they're tied down with and busy with, and they're missing the banquet. They're not coming to the banquet. These were the people the master had invited to the banquet, the first people that he had invited, and they're missing it. They're missing the banquet. It reminds me of the parable of the sower, where the sower is casting out the seed, and he throws the seed into the thorny ground. And it says that the seed is cast into the thorny ground, but the cares of this world choke out the seed so that it never comes to fruit. And these people are being choked out. They're missing the kingdom of God because they're becoming distracted by the cares of this world, the things that they have going on in their life. They're missing it. And so now, this master who's hosting this banquet runs into a problem. He has this huge banquet prepared, but nobody to come to it now because all the people that he invited are too busy doing other things. So here's his response to that. So the servant came and reported these things to his master. Then the master of the house became angry and said to his servant, go out quickly to the streets and the lanes of the city and bring in the poor and the crippled and the blind and the lame. And the servant said, sir, what you have commanded has been done, and there is still room. And the master said to the servant, go out to the highways and the hedges and compel people to come in that my house may be filled. For I tell you, none of those men who were invited shall taste my banquet. So now the master of the banquet, since all these people he originally invited are not coming, he goes out to the streets and the lanes and he invites the poor, the crippled, the lamed, the lesser, if you will, to his banquet. In fact, he even goes outside of the city, outside of Jerusalem, and into the streets and the byways, and starts inviting people out there to come into his banquet. Once again, this continues to point towards Jesus' concept of teaching, the first shall be the last, and the last shall be the first. You see, these people that were first invited to the banquet, they're missing it. They're too busy. They can't come to the banquet. They're too distracted. And so Jesus throws out this offering for his banquet, for the kingdom of God, to the lowly, to the least, those who are poor, those who are blind, the lame. But not only that, even outside of Jerusalem, even out in highways and the hedges, to the Gentiles, he's offered this banquet now, this kingdom of God, to everyone outside. He's opened it up. And the Pharisees, the very ones that you would have thought would have seen the kingdom of God, seen it coming, they knew all the Old Testament prophecies, they were well studied, they're waiting for the coming of the Messiah, they should have been the first ones to receive this invite and come to the banquet. But they missed it. You see, the Pharisees were so caught up in their own rules, their own methods of promoting themselves and self-righteousness, their fasting twice a week, and look at us, and praying in the streets, and trying to build their own image and being seen, that there was no room in their life for this true kingdom that God was offering. Their hardened hearts couldn't accept it. The first will be the last, and the last will be the first. Jesus is offering this banquet to us. He's offering the kingdom of God. And are we too distracted? Are we too busy with what we have going on here right now? Our business that we're carrying out, or even good things like, you know, pursuing a wife or being married or families and things like that. But are we allowing these things to distract us from the banquet that he's offering? Are we going to miss the invitation? See, God is generous. And he's showing hospitality. He's inviting the lowliest people. And he's setting this example. He's come for the least so that he might put to shame those who you would have thought would have been the first to come. And I'll come back to the first principle here. So not only is God showing his generosity and offering the kingdom, but also the generosity that Jesus was talking about. Are we showing that generosity to the people around us? Are we showing hospitality? Are we showing the love of Christ through our lives, inviting the poor and the disabled to our banquets, showing compassion and kindness, even with the healing of the man with dropsy, showing that compassion and that kindness Are we living that? Are we living out that example? Are we humbling ourselves? Are we living the life that Christ has called us to so that the rest of the world around us might see that? Earlier this week at youth group, I gave the challenge as we were going through the parable of the minas, what can you be doing to advance the kingdom of God? And it was just a question. There was no specific thing that I offered, just to be asking yourself, what can I be doing to advance the kingdom of God? What is God calling me to do? And I would just offer maybe an idea as I was looking at Luke this week, not only for them, but also for us, as I ask the same question for you. What is God calling you to do to advance his kingdom? The holiday season coming up, Thanksgiving, Christmas, these times. How can you be reaching out to those around you? How can you be showing hospitality? Maybe there is that one person that you know of that would just appreciate an invite to be brought into the group, if you will, and be a part of the festivities and just to be included. Maybe at school, you guys have your banquet tables every day in the lunchroom. Maybe there's somebody that's not inside your group that you can offer to come in and sit in at your group and be a part of your group. Or maybe you even don't meet at the lunchroom. Maybe you meet somewhere off campus, wherever it may be. Is there somebody that maybe you could include into that group and reach out to them and show them that generosity and that hospitality that Jesus is talking about here? This life is short. We only have one life to give, and after that, we stand before Christ. And how are we going to live that life, and how are we going to show that love and compassion to the world around us? The Pharisees were missing it. They were so wrapped up in their own self-promotion and their own rituals and religion that they missed what Jesus was offering, and I pray that we don't miss that too. That we can see the kingdom of God, that we can see what he's calling us to do for his kingdom. So let's pray. God, I do just thank you. I thank you for your generosity, that you've offered your kingdom. You've offered us an invitation to come and break bread with you, God, at your table, to one day be with you in heaven, God, that you've offered that to the lowly, to the ordinary, God, to us. And that you didn't just reserve it for the mighty and the wise and the Pharisees, God, but that it's available to all. And I pray that if that's an invitation that we haven't accepted, God, that we would accept that invitation, that we wouldn't be choked out by the cares of this world and miss it, God. And also for us who are a part of your kingdom, God, those of us who are children of yours, I pray that we wouldn't miss the calling that you've called us to, God, to humble ourselves, to be servants to those around us, and to show love and compassion. And I pray that you'd help us to find opportunities, God, to show compassion to the world around us, to show that hospitality and that generosity and that love so that they might see your love through us, God. In Jesus' name, amen.
Philippians chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. Do nothing from selfishness or of empty conceit, but with humility of mind regard one another as more important than yourselves. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interests of others. Amen.